Go and proclaim the kingdom of God. I say then, live by the Spirit. Go follow Christ and live by the Spirit. But what are you waiting for? Go. Go. This command is like Jesus' command to us to love one another. If I were to yell at you, go and buy me peanut butter, or go, follow the bus, visit Houston, you would know what to do, right? Even though it would be odd, you would at least know what to do. But when Paul yells at the Galatians, I say then, live by the Spirit, and then Jesus says, go and proclaim the kingdom of God, do we have any idea what they are yelling at us to do? Maybe we have some vague notion about doing good deeds or going to Mass and making sure that people know that we're Catholic. Or maybe we think it means something to do with, I don't know, something really strange like becoming a priest or a nun or joining a monastery or something like that. Or maybe having visions of St. Mary in the shrubs. I don't think that's what Jesus and Paul are talking about. So what do they want us to do when they tell us to follow Christ, live in the Spirit, and proclaim the kingdom of God? Now, how easy would it be for me to let us all off the hook here and repeat the predictable? I could pump you up with all kinds of sweet air and tasty little bits of religious cliché. To follow Christ, to live in the Spirit, and to proclaim the kingdom of God are all just matters of the heart. Right intention, good feelings, sweetness and light, and basically just being swell to one another. Or I could really let you off the hook and tell you that following Christ, living in the Spirit, and proclaiming the kingdom are all big tasks that require a lot of work and time and organization. So, tell you what. Why don't you just let the pros worry about it? Let the priest and the paid lay people worry about it. And you just show up here on Sundays, do this whole Mass thing, and then go home as if nothing happened. Sorry, can't do that either. Paul and Jesus are teaching us something here very different. Now, Paul, quoting Jesus, reminds the Galatians that the whole of the law is fulfilled in one statement, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Then he tells them to live in the Spirit so as not to gratify the desire of the flesh. And what is this desire? Well, first, desire is a kind of lacking. It's a wanting. It's a longing for something that's been promised that you don't have. And of course, Paul is most likely talking here about inordinate sexual desire. Paul continues, the flesh has desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. So what is the desire of the Spirit? Most basically, the desire of the Spirit is the longing we have to be with God forever. A longing, a desire He made into us. We're built to want to love Him and to come back to Him, to be brought back to Him free and whole. Now, you may come away from this teaching of Paul believing, like a lot of Christians have, that Paul is arguing for some kind of dualism, this flesh over here and spirit over here, or body over here and soul over here. No. He does not say that the flesh and the spirit oppose one another. He says that the desires of the flesh and the desires of the spirit oppose one another. He says that the desires of the flesh and the desires of the spirit are what cause us to battle inside. These opposing desires prevent you from doing what you want to do. And who are you? We are body and soul, flesh and spirit. One person, undivided, one will, one intellect. We are not fleshy machines with a ghost poured in. We are body, soul. together. And if in one person there is a battle between the disordered and well-ordered desires of both body and spirit, then that person is a slave. Thank God, then, that for freedom, Christ set us free. Now, living in the Spirit is perfectly simple, and it's immensely complex. Perfectly simple, because all we have to do is to become Christ for one another. Easy cheesy. Just become Christ. Now, living in the Spirit is immensely complex, because we have to become Christ for one another. Exactly the same thing, and very difficult. Becoming Christ is perfectly simple because we were brought to that transformation in baptism. But becoming Christ is immensely difficult because we must continue to cooperate with the gift of grace in baptism all of our lives. If you are consumed by a conflict between the desires of your flesh and the desires of your spirit, how capable are you then of cooperating with God's baptismal graces? This is why Paul teaches the Corinthians, do not use this freedom to cooperate with God's grace in Christ. Do not use this freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. Rather, serve one another through love. Love being, of course, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. The love the Father and the Son have for one another. The creating and redeeming passion that made us, that saves us, and that feeds us even now. So if you will be guided by the Spirit, you must follow Christ. Excellent. I'll follow Christ. What does that mean? As Jesus and his disciples were proceeding to Jerusalem, someone said to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. To another someone along the way, Jesus says, follow me. And then another one further along says, I will follow you, Lord. To the first someone, Jesus replies, the Son of Man has nowhere to rest his head. Translation, following me ain't easy. It's work, and it's hard work, and long hours, and rest. And rest only comes with death. There's no time off, no vacation from becoming Christ for one another. The second someone answers Jesus, I will follow you, but let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus says, let the dead bury their dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Translation, right now is the time to follow. There is no postponement, no hesitation. Do not wait until this or that or all those things are done. The dead are dead. Become Christ for the living right now. Then the last someone promises Jesus, I will follow you, Lord. But then he hesitates and says, but first, let me say farewell to my family at home. And Jesus says to him, no one who sets a hand to the plow and looks to what was left behind is fit for the kingdom. Translation, if you will do my work here and now, you must do my work here and now. Leave behind what cannot or will not come with you. To those of us along the way to Jerusalem, and where is he going in Jerusalem? To the cross and the empty tomb. To those of us along the way to Jerusalem, he says, I will follow, we say, we will follow you, Lord, but I must go and do this or that first. Jesus says to us, I am first. If you will follow me, I am first. If you will live in my spirit, I am first. If you will proclaim my kingdom, I am first. Living in the Spirit is the day-to-day struggle to be free from the slavery of sin. To live free in Christ is to be guided by love. That is, to be directed, constantly poked and prodded, by your redeemed desire to live with God forever, to serve each other with one heart and one mind, graciously sacrificing for friends and enemies alike, drowning in prayer, breathing God's word, breaking his body and drinking his blood, becoming here and now Christ for others. If you will say to Jesus, "I will follow you, Lord," do so without regret, hesitation, without burden or debt. Do so shamelessly, eagerly, without guile or presumption. Do so immediately, full-throated, with arms spread, without fear or foreboding, not looking back, but falling headlong and free into the field, and taking on his yoke, and proclaiming first with every breath, first with every muscle and every drop of sweat, "Christ is Lord, and his kingdom is at hand."